no. And you'll see why. There's an outline in there if you'd like to follow along this morning as we're going to talk about from believing to trusting. So I'm trusting that you will not take more than one bulletin because there's quarters taped to them. And there's a reason for that, and we'll get to that in a moment. I heard some people say there is. The wheels are turning, aren't they? This morning I want to talk to you about from believing to trusting. And next week we're going to take a little look at restoration. And turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 17. We're going to take a look at a text there. Really kind of taking some time and learning about from believing to trusting. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. Are you there? Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 deals with the story of Abraham that has to do with an issue of trusting and obeying and faith, and there's all these things that are wrapped up into the midst of it. It's the story of where the discussion is taking place about Abraham having many descendants and being the father of many nations, and he comes to a place where God says, I'm going to use you, but all of a sudden, Abraham had this issue, thought maybe he needed to help God out. You ever feel like you needed to help God out? You kind of step in only to find out you get in the way of his will and what he wants to do. And he says that I'm going to bless you, but it starts at verse 15 and says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah, spelled differently, shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed, and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. But God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. By the way, I don't know if you knew, but Isaac means he laughs. Isn't it ironic that he takes that laughter of Abraham and decides to name his kid that? He says, you're going to call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you, and behold, I will bless him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up and departed from Abraham. Now, Ishmael is the result, if you remember the story, is a result of Abraham trying to fix things for God. You ever have any Ishmaels in your life? You think you know better. You got a quicker route. You got a quicker way. You got a better idea. God isn't moving fast enough. He didn't do it exactly the way. I can do it better. And you end up with Ishmael. And he ended up having a child through Sarah's maidservant, and Ishmael's there. But God says, no, I'm going to establish my covenant with Isaac. He said, that's where the covenant is all at, and that's what it's all about. And we want to take some time, and I want to talk this morning about learning to move from believing to trusting. You may say, well, believing's good, isn't it? Well, yeah, sure it is. That's where we have to start. Now, it was some years ago, but Lisa and I went on a trip for our anniversary. We went to Fort Lauderdale. Anyone ever been to Fort Lauderdale? It's a beautiful place. We had never been there. We were able to do some fun things there, and we were able to hang out on the beach and just go visit around. And one of the perks of the trip, kind of a perk, is they do a lot of parasailing out on the ocean there. Now, when I say that we went parasailing, I really mean Lisa went parasailing. There was no we in this. Because I'm not much into anything that leaves me floating up in the air like a bobber on a fishing line. You know, I have issues with that. I just have a hard time hanging up in the sky and in the air. Anything that's in a plane. I know planes are the safest way to travel, but the one time they have a little hiccup, it's it. You're going to be a grease stain. And so I just have a hard time with that trusting there. And there's something you have to learn about my wife, okay? She's crazy. Did you know that? Many times they say, oh, your wife's so sweet and she looks so cute and that, but she's crazy. She wants to jump out of perfectly good planes. She wants to do the parachuting. She wants to parasail. She wants to do all these wild things. And I think that's why God put me in her life, to help bring a little bit of balance, you know, and I give her a hard time about that. But they asked me, they said, do you want to go up? I said, I don't think so. And he says, oh, come on, it's going to be okay. He said, you don't have to worry one bit about parasailing. He said, this is a fun experience. There's nothing to worry about. He said, it's completely safe. Nothing's going to snap. Now, I don't know about you, but I never want to hear the word snap and safe in the same sentence when we're talking about something like parasailing. And I said, no, I said, I don't think that I'm going to do that. And they said, what's the matter? Don't you believe us? I said, oh, I believe you. I just don't trust you. That's what it boiled down to. I don't trust this line up there. I don't want to be an excerpt on the Today Show. Pastor goes floating off into space and then eaten by sharks when he lands or something. I don't even want to go there. I believe that it's safe. I believe it's fine for you guys to go parasailing. But I don't trust myself up there. I don't want to go. You know, there's a man by the name of Charles Blondin, a great tightrope walker. Maybe you've heard the name. He trundled a wheelbarrow over Niagara Falls in 1890, and he asked the people if they thought he could go across to the other side with someone inside the wheelbarrow. Well, the people were cheering him on until he asked for a volunteer to sit in the wheelbarrow. Then all of a sudden they got quiet. Why? Because they believed that he could do it because they saw him wheel that across, and they believed that somebody could actually sit in there, but they didn't trust it when it came right down to it, and they were to get inside the wheelbarrow. They did not trust that. And I believe that sometimes God is calling us to get inside the wheelbarrow. He says, do you believe that I can be your all in all? Yes, I believe that. And then he says to do something, but we say, oh, hold on. You see, we have a hard time trusting when it comes to that point. In a recent poll, 83% of Americans said they believe in God. Did you know that? 83% of them say they believe in God. We can believe, but not necessarily trust, because these 83% didn't say that they trusted God. Didn't say that God was their all in all. They just said that I believe in God. I believe he's there. God told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And Abraham was 100 years old, and he believed God. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:6, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Why? Because he believed. He believed him. However, when nothing happened for a while, he thought, I've got to help God out. I've just got to do something to help him. He conceived a son, Ishmael, with Sarah's maid, Hagar. And like Abraham, sometimes we think, I know God's promise, but I'm going to help God out. I've got to do it my way. We can believe at times in our lives, but we just don't trust. We kind of circumvent God's promises, and we do an end run on him. Kind of an end run is, think of a football game. Now, in a football game, we all pretty much understand that the goal is to get from one side of the end zone to the other, carrying the ball. And when you cross the end zone, that's a what? Touchdown. We score. We get points. Okay. But the problem is people will be way over here, and they see something called the defense. And all of a sudden, they think, this is going to be a little bit harder than I thought. Now, let's say in football, you could do this. Let's say a guy gets hiked the ball. He grabs it, and he turns to his left. He makes a break up the stairs, past the concession stand, out to the parking lot, runs across the parking lot, back down, past the concession stand, into the end zone, talking touchdown. Is that going to work? Absolutely not. Yet many times that's what we do with God. We say, God, we got to get from point A to point B, and God says, you can do it. I know there's defense there, and I know how to work through them, but you've got to trust in me. Do you believe me? Yes. Well, do you trust in me? Trusting in me means that you're going to stay within the sidelines. You're going to stay within the guidelines, the guards that God, the rails that God puts up in your life, so that you do it the way that God has told us to do it. When we don't trust God and we take matters into our own hands to fulfill his promises to us, it brings pain into our future. And there are still problems today because Abraham did not trust God to fulfill his promises his way. There's going to come a time when we'll have to decide whether we trust God to provide for us in his way and in his timing. Otherwise, what we do is we will believe God, but then decide that we'll take over and do it our way. We'll start massaging in our own methods, and ultimately we're saying, God, I believe you, but I don't trust you. Now, we wouldn't come right out and say that, would we? I mean, if God said, do you trust me? Most of us would say, well, God, you know I want to trust you. Well, God didn't say, do you want to trust me? God said, do you trust me? Well, yeah, I'd like to think so. I didn't ask what you thought. Do you trust me? Because really, you're not going to find the proof of trust in your lip service. You're not going to find it in the words that you speak. You're going to find it in your actions and whether you obey, or when God says go, do your feet actually move? When God says bless, do your hands actually reach out? When God says give, do you really reach in and pull out the wallet? Because that is where you see an understanding of trusting God and doing it His way. It's not always easy to do it God's way because we have to be more patient. How many of you enjoy being patient? Me neither. We don't like that, do we? But we have to learn to do that. However, when we do, the Bible says this. In your outlines, it says, Proverbs 10:22, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich, and He adds no what? He adds no sorrow to it. When we do it His way, He adds no sorrow to it, and He blesses us. Abraham tried to do an end run on the Lord. However, God spoke to Abraham again and said in Genesis 17:16, He says, I'm going to bless Sarah, and indeed I'll give you a son by her. It says that Abraham fell on his face and he laughed and he said in his heart, what child will be born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? How many of you past the age of 65 would love to just bear a child right now? Anyone? Yeah? There's going to be a lot of work. And you think, my mind can't even wrap around that. But yet here we are. God is saying it's not about just her age. It's about her willingness to trust God. You know, we see him many times throughout the Old Testament, people living much longer lives, 300, 500, 600 years old. So couldn't they have taken care of a child? Well, maybe. But the issue is not about a 90-year-old woman giving birth as much as it is a 90-year-old and a 100-year-old saying, I will trust God when he calls me to do something. I will obey him. See, that's what he's bringing us to. Although Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, when it came down to the wire, Abraham really didn't trust God. He really didn't trust him. You see, we can do it our way too. We can believe God but not trust him. And that dichotomy is going to bring us a lot of pain. Ishmael became the father of the Arab nation. His descendants became the enemies of Israel the rest of their lives. In fact, Israel's enemies were her half-brother's kids, and cousins were fighting cousins. And it was a family feud that continues to this day if you just keep your eyes on the news. How often do we believe God, but we don't trust him? God says he will bless us financially. So what are we to do? Start tithing, he says. But God, that means I have to give my money. You're going to bless me financially. I don't see how you can bless me with money when you're telling me to give it. Don't try to figure God out. Simply obey him. That's how you move from believing to trusting. It's too many times we try to question everything that God wants to do in each and every one of us. But God just says, I just want to see you act out and obey. If we believe a certain doctor is the best, we go to that one, don't we? Why? Because we believe that he's the best doctor. So we trust him. If we believe a certain mechanic is the best, we take our car to him. If we believe a certain bank is trustworthy, we invest our money in that one. Do we check our chairs before we sit down? Do you look to see if the chair is going to hold you? Not usually. You sit down. Why? Because we've trusted in this chair before. We trust in so many other little areas, but yet God is bringing us to a place where he says, I want to bring you to a place of not just believing that you can be supported, upheld, healed, delivered. I want you to experience, but you got to move from believing to trusting. We've got to make this shift. So how are we going to do this? If we say that we believe, then it'll become evident that we believe because it will be seen in our actions. That's faith. If we believe God is faithful, we will trust him when he speaks to us about certain things in life, and it takes both belief and trust because that's a whole faith. For me anyway, it's easy to believe God, but it's not so easy to trust him all the time. You ever find that to be true? I believe God is God, but sometimes it's a lot harder to trust him that he's God. I believe God will provide for me, but sometimes it scares me to trust him. Does that mean that should limit me? No. That means I need to be able to surrender that to him as well, that fear or that worry or that concern. You see, God will take care of us, but how are we going to do this and shift from believing to trusting? The first way is this. You can write it in your outlines. We have to learn to cooperate in his ways. Cooperate in his ways. We believe God, and if we do that, we also have to cooperate with him. We have to move beyond belief to trust. 83% of Americans, I said, believe in God. Even the devil believes in God. There's not one demon in this universe who's an atheist. Demons are not atheists. People are. We make that choice. Demons believe, but don't trust. We also can believe, but God has called us to be people that come to a place of trusting him and His Holy Spirit. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what struggles you face. I don't know what hurdles that stand in front of you and mock you and laugh at you because it seems like you just can never overcome in this area. But I know that you can overcome in those areas when you move from believing to trusting, because believing says, I know that God can give me the victory. Trusting says, I'm taking that victory in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do something about it. But you have to cooperate with His ways. It doesn't matter if you're struggling with an addiction or there's a habit or you find yourself doing this repetitive thing over and over again you know is not right or healthy. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's the way that you communicate. Whatever it is, God can give you the victory. But you have to have a mentality that says, no longer am I going to sit back and just say, I believe that God can do it. It's time to start showing that you believe that by trusting Him. And that means you're going to have to make some changes. And we don't like that, do we? At least I don't. Change is a hard thing, but it's necessary. It's required. But it starts with cooperating with His ways. Not your ways, not your spouse's ways, not your kids' ways, not the way we've always done it before, not the way that my mentor did it and taught me all the time, because the Holy Spirit will speak something fresh and new. And we have to have ears that hear that. Man, if you really want to lead your home and be the spiritual leader, you got to have an ear that hears the Holy Spirit. What is God saying to you? Do you believe that? Then trust in it and start acting upon it. We have to cooperate with His ways. God's resources and blessings flow when we believe and trust. When we know that the chair is faithful, we sit on it, don't we? We can trust in that. We know God is faithful, so do we trust in Him? That's why the Bible says this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. It delights heaven when we not only believe God, but we also trust in Him. The essence of obedience is trust. And in fact, disobedience is when we don't trust God is going to come through for us. That's when we don't trust Him. We believe God, but we don't trust Him and we don't obey. The essence of disobedience is to not trust Him. That's what we're saying. We need to be a people who not only believe God, but we begin to trust Him in every area of our life, for our finances, for our dating relationships. Maybe you're here today and you're single and you're saying, I want that relationship. Are you trusting God with that relationship? Are you creating any Ishmaels in your life? Trust in Him. God has a great plan for you. Trust God in everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. But we have to cooperate with God. This is where trust is. It's like a man who said that he wanted the blessings of God but never did anything about it. It doesn't work, does it? You may say, well, how can I do this? How can I cooperate with His ways? I don't even know what I can do. I don't have anything to give. Maybe today you're saying, I don't have anything. I want to move from believing to trusting. And by the way, if you're in that mode of trusting, don't think that you've arrived. God's always developing. He's always growing. He's always stretching. Have you ever experienced that? Those growing pains? Sometimes those stretching pains? It's because God wants to give you more. You know, I remember going through a season recently where I was feeling the pressure of learning things and finances, and I'm like, God, I don't understand this, and I'm doing no good. And I just thought I was the biggest failure because my mind could not figure out things that I was trying to figure out. And so ultimately, I came to the conclusion, I must not be very smart, or I must not do very well. And I was just walking around, and I was asking God what He thought. That's a good thing to do when you're struggling, by the way. Ask God what He thinks. And God said, Jim, don't you understand? The reason you're struggling with this is because I've entrusted it to you. And that changed everything for me. I said, you trust me with this? You trust me to learn this? You trust me? And it put a whole new spin on it, because when you start to trust God, He will give you what you need. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. What do you have to do? Cooperate with His ways. That's what we have to do. Maybe you want to move from believing to trusting, and you say, I don't know how to do that. I don't want to go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. That's not me. Or maybe you're saying, I'm not comfortable with that. Maybe you're saying, I can't sing, so you don't want me leading you in worship. Or you may say, it scares me to death, to just the thought of public speaking. I don't want to get up and preach or talk. Well, you don't have to. You can cooperate with His ways in other ways. You may say, well, how? Do you have $20 that you could give? Then give it. Do you know that one of the ministries we have here at this church is called Doorways of Blessing? On this envelope, have you ever looked at that and wondered what in the world that was? Doorways of blessing is a way that we reach out in this community and help others. It's what fills the food pantry. You'll actually notice a bulletin insert in your bulletin. If you're wanting to know, how can I come to a place where I can learn to just build this trust? Maybe God's going to place in your heart to help us. Because we reach out to the community, whether it's by groceries or financial help. Put money in there. Mark it doorways of blessing. And you have now, just by faith, acted up on what God has said, because we use that to bless others in this community. There's families that go through hardships. They have no food. They have plenty of mouths to feed. And they come looking for help. By doing this, you get involved in your growth. You get involved in us as a church in this community. You don't have to go knock on their door. You don't have to deliver it to them. But if you would like to, let me know later. What you can do is this. Obey God when he says, get involved in your growth. Here's a simple way that you can do that. We have to become a people that understand it's in these simple ways that we can bless others by being obedient to God. When we cooperate with his ways, we move from just believing in God and believing that we should love to actually being entrusted to do it, to go and to bless others, to give, and to share the love of Jesus in practical ways. Sometimes we believe, but we don't make any move to demonstrate our faith. Faith is activated by trust, and trust is incredibly important. And if we want a good marriage and God asks us to do something, we will follow through because we trust him. This is where things come together. So trust in his ways. If we want to be financially secure and God says give or tithe or stop spending, follow through. Why? Because we trust him and we trust in his ways. Maybe we're facing difficulties in our job. We have staffing issues. Maybe we're responsible for a business and the people within that business, and changes have to happen. Ask God for his wisdom and then trust in his ways and cooperate with him. That's how you trust in the Lord. In Hosea 14:9, it says, whoever is wise, let him understand these things. The ways of the Lord are right. When God speaks to us about our attitude, if we trust God, he'll change our attitude. Did you know that? If God speaks to us and says, I will bless the way that you think and I will give you insight, now change the way you think. If we trust him, then he will do just that. He will change the way that we think. Did you follow that? It's kind of confusing. Have you ever had somebody tell you, you need to change your attitude? You ever have anyone tell you that? I don't know about you, but if anyone's ever come to me and says, well, you have a bad attitude and you'd better change it, something like that, it's not going to go well. That's going to go over like a lead balloon, because anybody that comes to me and tells me, you need to change your attitude, ding, ding, the gloves just came off. And you kind of take this defensive stance, don't you? But the Holy Spirit has a way of coming along and speaking to you in the same, saying the same thing, just in a different way, where he can bring us to a place where he says, maybe our attitude does need to change. Let me pose it this way. What if you knew that your attitude did need to change? What if you knew that God had been speaking to you and that he's been working on your heart, letting you know that you need to change your attitude? What do you do? Have you ever felt like it needs changing, but you just can't see how that's possible? God says this. He says, I will bless you in the way that you think. Now change the way you think. And you say, I don't know how. If we say, if you just change my attitude, God, then I would change the way that I think. And God says, no, change the way you think and you'll see your attitude change. Well, what does that require? Us to trust in him and cooperate with his ways. Too many of us need maybe an attitude change, but it hasn't changed because we haven't been willing to trust God. We haven't said the words, Lord, change the way I think. Transform me from the inside out. I will cooperate with your ways. We sit back going, okay, God, do your thing. Almost as if we're challenging God, and God says, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm not looking for a challenge. I'm looking for a heart that wants to be transformed. I'm looking for a soul that says, I will trust in you, and that will cooperate in his ways. The Bible says that if you draw near to him, he does what? Exactly. He draws near to you. In other words, you take the first step. You take the first step. If we trust him, we will cooperate with him and we will change. We will change our attitude, our priorities, our serving, our tithing, our discipline, and daily devotions according to what he says. As we move and change to God's ways, this is what is called trust. This is trust. Listen, sooner or later, you and I will have to make another decision, and I believe it's in your outlines. We will keep God's word the same and change our lives to match God's word, or we will change God's word a little bit to match the way that we live. We're going to have to make that decision sooner or later. Either we will keep God's word the same and change our lives to match his word, or we will change God's words just a little bit to match the way that we live. So we can justify and say, I don't have to change. We do that because we don't like change, because it requires us to trust something outside of ourselves. And God says, if you're going to go from believing that there's God or believing in that faith to actually trusting in him, whether it's with your money, your marriage, your finances, then you're going to have to cooperate with his ways. This is a decision that we all have to make sooner or later. And the sooner we make the decision, the better. God's word does not change. It's immutable. It's immovable. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says this, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." It stands forever. God is unchangeable, immutable. He's the majestic one. Therefore, we are to change to match his word, not change the word to match us. We're not only to believe God, but also trust him. And as we do, he changes us from glory to glory into his image. And he changes us into the person he wants us to be. Trust in him. Trust in his ways. His word is worthy of our trust. You know, the centurion in the Bible who trusted Jesus, he asked Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said he would go to heal him, but the centurion said he wasn't worthy for Jesus to come under his roof. Instead, he asked Jesus to just speak the word. Do you remember that? He said, just speak the word. The centurion knew that Jesus just needed to speak the word and his servant would be healed. The centurion trusted in his word. Do you trust in God's word that same way? That all God would have to do is speak a word and it could heal you? Speak a word and it would bring blessing instead of a cursing that you feel like is going on? Do you believe and trust in the fact that one spoken word from God is worth more than 10,000 spoken words from the smartest man? Because if you do, then you have to act upon it. You can't sit by and say, yes, I believe in it. He said, I want you to trust it. I want you to put it into action. That's where God is bringing us to. The centurion knew that Jesus just needed to speak the word and his servant would be healed. The centurion trusted his word and Jesus marveled and gave this man one of the highest commendations in the whole New Testament. He said this, Matthew 8:10. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such a great faith with anyone in Israel. Isn't that amazing? How would you like that commendation from Jesus himself? Wouldn't that be great? Jesus considered this great faith. And it was considered the great faith because the centurion not only believed, but he trusted. When the Lord spoke to him, he trusted in God's word and started walking home. He didn't find out that the servant was healed until he got home. He didn't have a guarantee, but he was walking in trust. We delight all of heaven when we walk in that same trust. You start walking in that trust. You know, a few months after I gave my heart to the Lord, I felt the Lord call me back into ministry. I felt the Lord call me at the age of 14, and then I had to be me for a while, which really was not that great. And then when I got my heart right with the Lord, he said, Jim, I'm calling you back into ministry. And I said, God, you can't call me back into ministry. I'm an idiot. You know, I'm stupid. I'm ignorant. Did you see what I just did over the past few years? And he said, no. Isn't that amazing how God can do that? And he called me back to ministry. And Lisa and I thought, you know what? If God spoke it, we're going to do this right. I mean, we've tried it on our own, and we both made a decision that let's do it. We're going to head to Bible college. Now we freaked out a few people around here, especially our parents. We just kind of packed up and took off. Within 2 months, we were in Dallas, Texas. As a matter of fact, we were in Guthrie, Oklahoma, not even sure if we were accepted into the school. But here we are in Oklahoma with all our possessions and a U-Haul. And we were heading there based on faith. We believed that God had called us to go into Bible college, but he wanted to know, do you trust me enough to pack up all your belongings and go to Oklahoma, not even sure if you're accepted into Bible college? Well, the answer was yes, and we ended up there. And we ended up in Bible college. They accepted us. We had to work through Bible college. We couldn't just, you know, wing it. We had school by morning, work by night, so we didn't really see much of each other for 2 years. But by the end of those 2 years, when we graduated, what was amazing to me was, after we got the jobs and we went through all that, we didn't have any guarantees. We just trusted God. We trusted that he said go. We trusted that we'd find a job. We trusted that I'd actually pass Bible college. I mean, it was just amazing. I was like, God, I'm really trusting you with all this. Help me with it. At the end of our schooling, it was amazing because the jobs that we had, when we left, we said, we want a job. We're going to Bible college. We need to work through this. Now, I know that when I quit, I said, I'm giving my notice. I'm leaving. I'm going into ministry. And they looked at me almost as if to say, You were serious about that? You're really going to go into ministry? You know, I thought maybe you were just saying that to, you know, come across nice so I give you the job or something. I said, no, I'm going. And Lisa left her job. But they wanted to keep her. As a matter of fact, they tried to work her into some management position, trying to snooker her into that and steer her away from what God had. But they did the same to me. They said, you know what? You should just stay. I mean, you're great at this. One of the greatest, I don't know if it was a commendation or just encouragement, was by the end of the time that we graduated, I was one of the highest paid night maintenance guys they had ever had. And the main reason for that was because I knew how I liked people. I guess most of their maintenance people didn't like people or something. They liked things. I liked people. I didn't know how to fix anything, but I liked people. They'd call me to their door and say, hey, something's wrong. And I'd be like, oh, darn it. Don't you just hate it when that happens? Let me see what I can do. And they're like, oh, he's such a great maintenance guy. You know. And I never did fix the thing, but they sure loved me. It was a nice commendation for them to be able to say, we want you to stay. But there was an understanding that we said, no, we believe God called us into ministry. Now, are we going to trust him even when things look really good and there's offers on the table? And they're saying, you know, good maintenance guy, you know, stay. We'll pay you more. No, I'm going. I've got to go. You see, there was such a desperation to do what God had called us to do, that even in the face of that, we had to simply obey. That is the kind of faith where God is attempting to bring us from believing that I've called you to actually living it out. How? By trusting him with everything that you have. But you don't know what I did, Pastor. No, I don't. And it really doesn't matter. I don't need to, because I know what I did, and I know God said, forgot it, done, over, finished, let's go. Those old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. These are the words of God. And he wants to do something fresh and new in your life. Don't let the past limit you. Don't let it be a boat anchor that keeps dragging you down. And if you're in the midst of something right now where you're saying, you know, this isn't even past, this is present, this is current, you can do something about it. Repent. One word. And it's done. And you will move from not just believing in something, but to trusting God with that repentative heart. Because he will turn that around. You know, there's a lady in a church that, a true story, her son was going to Bible college. She didn't have a lot of money. She was a single parent mom, had a son who wanted to go to Bible college. And she was getting ready to write out her tithe check. And it was $250. And she said, I want to tithe, but my son's leaving. I mean, he's like at the door getting ready to walk out. And she had a choice to make. I want to give, and she almost rewrote the check to give it to her son, because she said, I want to give him the $250. I want to bless my son. What parent wouldn't want to bless their child? And I want to be able to give him that money. But she knew it was her tithe. And so she went to her son and said, son, all I've got is $250. And she said, and it's my tithe. So all I can give you is a hug. And she gave him a hug and let him go. And he went to the airport to get on the plane and that. But before he could get on the plane, some things had taken place. And he called his mom and he said, Mom, you're never going to guess what. And she said, what? He said, well, I came to the airport. He said, but my flight was canceled. So they had to reroute things. And in doing so, they blessed me with $300 plus the plane ticket. And the Lord spoke to her and said, you see, I've got things under control, but you have to trust me. There's lessons in life where God will teach us that we have to be able, if you want to move from believing to trusting, then we're going to have to cooperate with God's ways. Abraham learned that later. He learned how important it was if God's promises were going to come through to him. He couldn't just believe, that he had to trust. Belief was good, but he had to trust. God fulfills his promise, and Abraham has a son, Isaac, with Sarah. Later, God says, Abraham, you're going to have to sacrifice Isaac. I don't know about you, but that would be tough. There are going to be some times in those tough tests, but there's something that has saved me from a lot of pain, and here it is, and this is number two, is this. Go by what you know, not by what you feel. Go by what you know, not by what you feel. If you want to move from believing to trusting him, go by what you know, not just what you feel. Remember the song Feelings? I mean, even the song, the way they sang it, Feelings, whoa, I mean, it just annoyed me. And sometimes that's the way we live life. By feelings. I don't feel like it. I don't feel that. I don't, my feelings are hurt. We always say it when we're whining. Don't go by feelings. Go by what you know. If you want to move from believing to trusting, sometimes our feelings will war against us. And we know what the Bible says, but to do it is a whole different thing. These are times that we are to do what we know, not what we feel. There's times I don't know how to feel about somebody, or I don't know how I'm feeling in a situation. But God didn't say, go by your feelings. If it feels good, do it. No, that always got me in trouble. God says, go by what you know, not by what you feel. And then doing so, you'll make decisions to match God's word, and you'll see him work in a mighty way in your life. Abraham learned this as well. This is what made him the father of our faith. God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham must have learned something about trust and not just believing in God. When push came to shove, he learned to believe and to trust this time. He came to that place. Genesis 22:3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took Isaac his son, and he went to the place of which God had told him. He must have learned something from back then, because now he's not only believing, but he's trusting, because he's doing something with what God spoke. Of course, God intervened and everything was fine. God gave Isaac back to him and blessed him indeed. Abraham understood something about the importance of trust, and he went forth with it. That's why God says, you have to trust my word. My word. Proverbs 16:20. It says, he who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. You see, God is our architect, and he's the engineer of our lives. He knows how our lives go together best. He knows what is best for the dating relationships. And if he will do it, or if we will do it God's way, we will get God's blessing. And if we want God's blessing, then we have to do it his way instead of ours. We have to do it his way instead of ours. It's going to be a prerequisite. If we want Bible blessing, we're going to have to do it the Bible way. He is the architect. He knows. He's the engineer. And God says if we will go by what he says, he promised us that it will turn out good. This is how he designed it. There are options, because he's going to give us free choice. He will always give us other options, but we get to choose whether we're going to trust in the Lord or not. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord, right? That's what the word of God says. So many people believe God, but only a few of them trust him. There are a lot of options out there, but choose his way. There was an acrobatic pilot, and his instruments were very accurate. When you're doing that, the Blue Angels and all those acrobatic flying stunts and all that, your instruments have to be very, very precise. And you have to learn what it means not only to believe that this instrument is going to work, but you learn to trust in those instruments, because your life will depend upon it. And this pilot, his instruments were very accurate. They were the best of the best. He was having fun doing some acrobatic stunts through the clouds. The only thing that he didn't know is there was a huge fog bank that had started to move in. And so when this fog bank started to move in, it caused him to become a little bit disoriented. The pilot was experiencing what they call vertigo, and didn't know which way was up. He didn't know which way was down, and he was coming in. And the control tower said, you better start to land, because this huge fog is rolling in. And he came out of the clouds, and he came right into the fog. He couldn't see anything. He said, something's wrong with my instruments. Something's wrong with my instruments. He started to cry out. And the tower said, well, what does it say? It says, I'm upside down. He said, then flip your plane over. And he said, no. He said, I'm fine. I'm coming in. Something just must be wrong with these instruments. And he said, you can't see the tarmac. No, but I'm fine. He says, you can't see what's going on around you. No, but I'm fine. Your instruments tell you you're upside down. Yeah, but something must be wrong. He said, at the last moment, he said, flip your plane over. Trust in your instruments. And at the last moment, he turned the plane and just then landed. You know, too many times, we trust in ourselves rather than in the instrument, don't we? The Word of God. You know, the fog bank rolls in. There's confusion. There's distortion. There's anger. There's bitterness. And we get lost in a fog, and we don't know what to do. And we say, here's the instrument. Here's the word of God. And the word of God says, do this. And we say, that just doesn't feel right. I'm not feeling it. So therefore, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. That's the definition of insanity. You see, you have to come to a place where you trust in the instrument. God is the one who has engineered our life, and his words will sometimes tell us to flip the plane over. And you'll say, but that doesn't make sense. But you see, we live in an upside-down world. We live in a world of sin that's upside down, and we've lived in it so long that upside down feels right side up. So when God comes along and says, no, that's upside down, we're confused. Are you confused now? We live in a world that's upside down, and God says, flip the plane. There's something that I'm calling you to, but you have to trust in me. And not only do that, but you have to come to a place that you go by what you know, not by just what you feel. It's so important. You know, my kids, I hate this phrase. I'm not feeling it. My kids, if I can go to my kids and I can say, Dre and Seth, go clean your room, and they can look at me and go, ah, I'm not feeling it, Dad. You're going to be feeling something. You know, at that point when I'm telling them that they need to go do something, I'm really not asking for feedback, am I? No. I'm not asking for their opinion. I'm not asking for how they feel. I'm telling them you need to go do this. If you do this, you will be blessed. If you don't, you will be crucified, okay? Let's just got that plain and simple. They can look at me and say, I'm not feeling it. How many times have we looked at God and said, ah, I'm not feeling it? God says, I'm sorry, your life's a mess. There's frustration, bitterness, anger. You're in pain. You're facing health issues. You have no money. Everything's broke down, including your inside. You don't know what to do. You call upon me. I say do this, and you say, ah, not feeling it? Doesn't make sense, does it? But how many times have we done that? We have not trusted in him. You see, when God calls us to do something, what he's doing is saying, you believe in me because you cried out to me. Now I'm asking you to trust me. Don't go by what you feel. Go by what you know. And the word of God says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You call upon him in your day of trouble, and he will raise you up. Those three verses right there give you great hope. They give you great promise. But many times if we say, oh, I'm not feeling it, we're going to miss the greatest blessing that God has for us. You don't go by what you know, or you don't go by what you feel. You go by what you know. So what do you do when it's really dark, though? What if it's just I'm in a situation where life is really dark? It's just, it's just not about whether I trust God or not. I mean, I'm facing some huge issues. Number three is this. Write this down. When it's dark, put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. On your bulletin there, you see a quarter. That's for you, okay? Don't say I never gave you anything. I chose the quarter because it was the biggest coin, but what I really wanted to look at was these words that are really, really, really hard to read. And what does it say? Can you see it? Yeah. Not United States of America. That's not it. Not quarter dollar. Not liberty, though that's good. In God we trust. Do you realize your pockets are full of things that you put trust in? These words right here, in God we trust, this quarter alone. We stamp it on our money, in God we trust. We print it on our bills, in God we trust. There's a phrase that we find on every corn. Let me try that again. There's a phrase that we find on every coin in the United States of America, and it's that phrase, in God we trust. Do you know what that is? That's the word of God. Right there. It comes from Psalms 56:11. In God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? We print this on our money, but yet we don't seem to somehow embrace it. I give you this quarter this morning because I want you every time you pull a quarter out, a penny, a nickel, a dime, a dollar bill, anytime you pull out that $100 bill to give it to me because you want to bless me. And it says, in God we trust. What I want you to remember is not about the value of the dollar. What I want you to remember is about the trust that God has given. And he says that if you not just believe in me, but trust in me, I will bless you. Find some way to take that quarter maybe and bless somebody. You say, a quarter? How's that going to bless somebody? I don't know about you, but I got a bunch of kids over there that love bouncy balls and gumballs. You can find a way right there. But if you don't want to rot their teeth out, find a way to bless them. I want every time that you jingle the change in your pocket to think about the trust that we're to place in God. I want every time that you have to write a bill or pay for a bill. And I don't care if it's out of a checkbook or if it's on the internet. It may not say in God we trust, but your trust is still to be in that place because some of the darkest places that we find ourselves, we want to know, what do we do? What do I do when my marriage is falling apart? And I have tried everything. I believe God can save it. I'm just not trusting him yet because I'm not done trying to figure out what I can do. When you come to that place where you say, I will now trust you, Lord, whether it means the marriage lasts or the marriage fails, I trust in you. What about if you're running a business and it seems like it's going under and it's sinking and you don't know what to do? You're saying, well, I believe in God, but I'm not trusting yet because I still have a few good ideas right here and let's see if those work. But when you come to that place where you actually trust him, you will see leaps and bounds of growth in your spiritual walk with him because it's not about whether the business fails or not, though that's obviously we want it to succeed. The issue on the floor is about your trust. Where is it? Is your trust in your dollars? Is your trust in your spouse? Is your trust in yourself? Is your trust in your partner? Or is your trust in the Lord? Because it's only when you face those darkest moments in your life, the only thing that will help you is when you trust in the Lord. We have it stamped all over our money, but yet we don't really understand the God that we're to trust. Put your trust in God. And in the darkest times, trust in the Lord. I'll end with this. There's a story told of Corrie ten Boom. Have you ever heard of her, anyone? Corrie ten Boom. Great woman of God. Corrie ten Boom has been somebody that we learned about. I first learned about her in Bible college when my wife had to do a paper on her, I think it was, or a report or something. And I started learning about this lady. Corrie's family helped Jews escape from the Nazi persecution. And when the Nazis found that her family had been helping the Jews, they killed her father, they killed her mother, and her sister died in prison in a concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom survived to tell the story in her book called The Hiding Place, which was later made into a film. They turned that into a film. She saw many Christians who said they believed in God but who abandoned their faith when things got tough. She saw a lot of people who said, I believe in God. I'll print it on my money. I'll tattoo it on my skin. I believe in God. But they didn't trust him when it was actually time to make a difference. She saw those people who abandoned their faith when things were getting hard and harsh. They did whatever the Nazis told them to do, even though it wasn't right. Corrie said, we can't do that. This is her quote. We can't do that. And they asked her, a fellow prisoner said, well, what are we supposed to do when things get dark? She said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train, do you? No, you trust the engineer. When things get difficult in your life and it seems that life is going through a tunnel and it seems that your life is at the darkest time, trust in the engineer. Trust in the one that is driving this whole thing. Trust in the author and the finisher of our faith. I've never forgotten that story because I thought there's been some dark places in my life. I don't know about you, but I've gone through plenty of tunnels. And the one thing I've learned more than anything is when it's the darkest, I can't trust myself. I have to trust somebody much higher than me, and that's God himself. Because if I put my trust in myself, the train will derail. But if I trust in the Lord, then there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Too many times, we feel that we just want to jump ship. We want to quit. We want to derail the train ourselves, get it over with. But God says, trust him. When you do that, you move from a believing to an understanding of faith. Psalms 125 verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. You see, God is the one who has engineered the best design for marriages. Trust him. God has designed the best thing for relationships and dating. Trust him. God has designed the best thing that you could ever understand or experience about deep, intimate friendships. Trust him. God is the one that can give you the best advice and insight on business. Trust him. Are you getting the point here? It's not about believing that God can do something. It's about coming to a place of realizing that he will do something when I trust him. Not before. It's not after. He shows up when we step into action. Those who trust in the Lord, they will be like Mount Zion. They will be a rock. They will be strong. We want to be people who have that kind of a stalwart heart so that God delights in giving us his best because we're not only a people who believe in him, but we're a people who trust in him. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray today that as we bow our heads and our hearts, Lord, that you'll bring us to a place of trusting you. I don't know if I got it said the way that you wanted to say it, but Lord, trusting you is going to be a commitment. It's going to be a decision. It's going to be something that gets us out of our seat and gets us moving. Trusting in the Lord means that we're going to have to say that we don't know the most, that we aren't in control. It means that we're going to have to say that we don't have all the answers. So Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us come to that place and humbly submit and surrender to you so that we can hear your Holy Spirit. Jesus, will you come in just a special way? And Lord, touch us where we're at. Our broken hearts, places where we've seen pain and hurt, places where we've believed, but we haven't trusted. Lord, may we today leave here differently because of that. Lord, we are the church that you've called us to be, and we will only be the church to the degree that we put our trust in you. Are you here today? And maybe the Lord has spoken to you and said, that's you. I've been speaking to you. I've been working on you. I love you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just letting you know today that you've believed long enough. Well done. Now it's time to trust. Are you here today and God is bringing you to that place and you need to just make it a point to say, that's me and God, I'm going to respond to you. Here today, just simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to move in certain areas from believing to trusting. And I surrender my heart to you. Just lift your hand and say, God, that's me. Father, you see the hands and you see the hearts, and I pray that now, in the name of Jesus, you would bestow upon each and every one an understanding of the power of your Holy Spirit that moves in such a gentle way, but can burn away the chaff. It can burn away those things that will not last and cause us to be people that are pure-hearted. So, Lord, we receive that. We don't receive it lightheartedly. We receive that and understand that we have to do our part. We will draw near to you as you draw near to us. Lord, we take that first step. Are you here today? Let me simply ask this. Are you here today and you don't have a relationship with God? It's gotten cold or stale, or maybe it's never been there. Are you here today and you need to ask Jesus into your heart? Don't let this moment escape you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to do anything that's weird. I just want to know, or God wants to know, if you're here today and you need that decision. If you're here today and you need to make that decision for the Lord, will you just raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you? That today you know you can leave with that relationship with him. I'll wait for just a moment. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? And my challenge to you today is I want you not only to just take a quarter and find out a way to put your trust in the Lord. It's not about a quarter. It's not about your money. It's about a reminder. Where do you put your trust? Where do you put your hope? You may say, but I love the Lord. I put my trust in him. I hope in him. Good. But there's another level. You never plateau. You never come to a place where you say, okay, I'm comfortable. I can stay right here. I have arrived. I don't know about you, but I found this. About the time I've come to the place where I feel like I've arrived, God's already taken off to the next level. I mean, there's times where I thought, I can't understand women at all. I don't figure it out. About the time I think I've got them figured out, they change. You know what? I do the same with my wife. Do you know what else happens? In a relationship with God, about the time you think you got him figured out, there's something new he wants to deposit within your heart and your life. Learn to trust in him. Pastor? Hi.
I just wanted to say in conclusion, I want to encourage you to be out for evening service tonight. You know, I didn't know just what the Lord laid on Pastor Jim's heart. And I'd like to say, this quarter that you see here, I'd really like you to keep that as a reminder in your pocket all the time. Because from the time that Abraham and Sarah got the promise until it was fulfilled was 25 years. And you got 25 cents. Remember, it may be long, but I promise you it's worth waiting for. But I wanted to encourage you about coming to the service tonight, especially if you need a breakthrough. Because the scripture that the Lord has put on my heart is Daniel 7:25, and it says he will speak great words, and he'll speak them against the Most High, and will wear down the saints of the Most High, and he'll try to change times and seasons, but the judgment will set, and they will take away his dominion to consume it and to destroy it until the end. The one is speaking about there, Satan likes to change seasons in your life. And he likes to be able to wear you down. He can't get you in one shot, but he likes to wear you down. And I want you to know something God's going to do to just bring a breakthrough and bring something new to you. And I'm believing for the Holy Spirit. We're going to have altar time tonight. And I want to encourage you to come, especially if you need a breakthrough. And I promise you, God's going to do something marvelous. And again, even if the timing is long, God's strong and he'll see you through. But I love you, church family, and God bless you. I look forward to seeing you if you can make it to the service tonight. God bless. Pastor Jim?
No, you're dismissed. God bless you.